Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart. The love of God is towards us all. He loves us very much so. And he has so much to say to all of us. The Lord speaks by his great and powerful love. He loves us and he cares about us in every way. The Lord would do nothing without his love. Everything he does is by love. And the Lord wants to do great things on our behalf. And he's given us the same word that he uses to build things. We're supposed to operate just like him. No different. We receive his word. We believe it. We receive it in our heart. And we speak it and we act on it. And when we put a demand on life, the demand we place is alive and it has to happen. A lot of times people mistakenly think that the Lord's will is involved. It's up to the Lord's will whether we do this or that. Now, the word of God is the will of God. And what he's put in place for us, we don't have to ask him if it's his will that we be healed. You know, the Lord gave us fruit. Fruit grows on the tree. We don't have to ask, can we pick the fruit? We just pick the fruit. He put it there so that we can have it. You don't have to ask him, is it? Adam didn't have to go and ask him every time he got ready to eat a grapefruit. Lord, can I have a grapefruit today? The Lord put that under his dominion. It was up to him what he ate, when he ate, where he ate, and how much he ate. It was all up to his will. So what I'm trying to say, I couldn't get it out right, but we don't have to go back and research the will of God when he's already exposed his will to us. We're just supposed to operate according to his perfect will. We know what the words say. So if we get sick, you don't have to go ask God if you can claim healing. You don't have to go and ask God, is it your will that I get healed this time? I know it was your will last time, but this time might be different. It's not that way. And people preach it that way, but it makes no sense. And the Lord wants us to recognize wisdom and knowledge. And he wants us to have good sense and intelligence. You know, he wants us to get it. So when you study the word of God, there was nobody Jesus ever turned down for healing. Even the silly Pharisees could have gotten healed if they weren't so proud and asked for it. But anybody that came to him, he healed them every time. And the only time he had trouble was in his own hometown before they heard the word. After he taught them, they did better. But before, they didn't. He only healed a few sick folks. And he taught us that a prophet is not without honor, but in his own hometown and among his own people. So he knew that we would run into that same problem. So he let us know because he ran into that problem. But that doesn't mean that your parents, your kin folks, your siblings and your friends from your own hometown won't ever hear you. They're not going to be the fastest to believe you. But when the word of God is taught, people can do better. And people like to process, the way that they process you can change. And the way that they see things can change. So continue to grow and go forward, and people would eventually be able to receive you as a man or woman of God. Now, but God's will is for you to live no different than he does. He said in the Lord's Prayer that it be on earth. Pray, we're supposed to be praying this, that it be on earth as it is in heaven. That it be on earth as it is in heaven. There are no sick people in heaven.
Sickness comes from this place where rebellion is. Rebellion and the curse are still here. The enemy is still here. The enemy attacks people. He attacks healthy people. And we attack him. We attack him by preaching the word. And we reduce his kingdom because everybody from his kingdom who gets saved, they're in God's kingdom. And he doesn't like it. He wants to be their master. And we're going to take his people from him. That's precisely what we do. And we do it on purpose. And we do it because that's what we are ordained to do by God. Satan has no rights. He has no rights, no privileges from God. Man gives him his power. Did you hear that? Man gives Satan his power, not God. Jesus said, all power in heaven and earth is given to me, and I give unto you power. After that, the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And he gave us authority. And the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. See, the Holy Spirit will help us receive God's word correctly. And it's so important that people read the chapters and not just verses. The enemy quotes verses. And he tried to give you a false interpretation of verses. It's harder for him to give you a false interpretation of chapters. And that doesn't mean he won't try. But when you read the word enough, the word will become alive to you and set you free. Your logic will grow. The way you see things will mature. And you'll be able to do things that you couldn't do normally because the grace of God is sufficient. Every gift that he's given us is sufficient to help us through the day. And we'll go forward and not backwards. We'll proceed and not be hindered. We will be unstoppable people. And not be dragged about by every wind of doctrine, false perceptions. A lot of times people are believing God for healing and they're making progress. Then the enemy sends forms of doubt and they wonder whether it's still God's will that they're healed or not because they don't feel any better. You can't go by how you feel. You have to go by the word of God. And if you stay, so when you believe in God, don't just read the word enough to stand. Read the word enough to stand and enjoy the peace and joy of God. Because that'll make the duration shorter. See, all faith has a duration, period. Whether it's short or long. My shoulder hurt one time, and Pastor prayed for it. He had a word of knowledge about somebody having a shoulder problem, and he prayed for it, and he felt the power of God when he laid hands on my shoulder. I didn't, but my shoulder got better from that hour, and I knew that I was healed. I'm a mechanic, and I have to have my shoulder, and my hands, and my knees, and everything. When the enemy sends attacks, we have a countermeasure. If you pull a muscle, we have a countermeasure. I pulled a muscle or something. I had a very bad ache in my elbow. And when I sling a sledgehammer, I'd feel it. And it would only hurt if I used it. It didn't hurt normally. So when I lifted weights, I could feel it. If I picked up parts, I could feel it. And he laid hands on my elbow. The first time he said, anybody got a problem with the elbow? I didn't feel the pain at the time. This was when it first started. And then the next week I used my arm again doing some heavy work and I felt it. I said, next time he calls that out, I'm gonna let him pray for me. So a period of time went by and he laid hands on my elbow and it got better from that hour, just like my shoulder did. And it never came back, and it never will. Because the healing power of God solved the problem. He gave us healing by grace, and his grace is sufficient. It's not his will that I'm sick and can't operate. That doesn't make sense. I have to do work so I can pay the radio bill, so I can do the things that God has given me to do. And the Lord doesn't want me in pain. The Satan does. So he put down countermeasures, and now there are gifts that's in grace so that I can stop the works of darkness and all the power of the enemy. He gave, it's not God's will that Satan has any advantage over my life. Yeah, that's a good confession. Satan has no advantage in my whole life. I'm going to start saying that Satan has no advantage in all of my life. In every area of life, I have the advantage. You know, I like that confession. In every area of life, God has given me the advantage. And I will do all that's in his heart. I will use the grace of God, and I will do all that's in his heart. And Satan has no advantage in any part of my whole God-given life. I like that. See, good confessions is the opposite of complaining. Complaining suggests that God is not involved. Complaining turns its back against God. But words of faith invites the presence of God. Words of faith, confessions of faith, what you profess by your faith, you're bringing God's will to you so that you can live in the fullness of God's will and in the sight of all. And they will know that you can have God's best, and that they can have God's best, because of God. When people see God bless others, they want the same blessings on their life. Now, when the presence of God is understood, people desire it, and the enemy can't lie to their mind anymore and their heart that God is mean. How could God be mean, and he's healing people? And some people will say, well, God only heal good people. He ain't going to heal me because I've been bad and I've done terrible things, and I know it and God knows. And then when they get sick, if they get in pain enough, they ask God to pray. They ask somebody to pray for, and then God will heal them. And now they know something about God that they didn't realize, that God really do love me, even though I didn't do right. Why does God love me and I know I broke his rules? Why did he heal my body? He know I don't do right. Why did God heal me? I thought he didn't care about me because I'm bad. No, his love, he loves you. Now you know that he loves you. Well, since he loved me, I want to love him. And then the reason we all love God is because he loved us first. So Satan is trying to hide the fact that God loves man. And if God don't really love me, then why should I do right? And then some people will, you know, they know God loves them and they'll do wrong anyway. But some people, their whole logic and persuasion of thought is wrong. You know, they believe that God don't like them, that God don't love them, nobody does. Why should I care what happens? I just try to do the best I can. And they have problems. And they get depressed, and they get in pride. They have all these, and they don't understand what sin is doing to their lives. They just know that they're not happy. And then whatever they think will make them happy, that's what they try to do. Most people don't go out trying to do people wrong just to be doing it. They're trying to be happy. And then you got people who are weak in their mind, and all they hear is gangster music. And it becomes a persuasion, and they want to be a gangster. Or they start to be a gangster, and then they wish they wasn't a gangster anymore. But sin is addictive. Everybody needs the love of God, even the old crazy gangsters. Because some of the most outstanding people were people who once were drowned in sin. And they got out of their mire, and they didn't want to go back. And they had You know, this happened with Josiah. There was no king that hated evil more than him, not even David. He hated sin and what it did to Israel. And he was 8 years old when he began to reign. And he hated. He even dug up all the lying false prophets and took them out of honorable graves and laid them out under the sun. And it was prophesied that he would do it. He hated sin. All the people who preached lies for years and the evil kings, he dug their bones up just like it was prophesied. You can study it in, I think it's 2 Kings. And it was prophesied in 1 Kings. God loves us. And he's coming, his return is very, very soon. Everything is happening according to his word because of his great love. He you know, his love is active. He acts on the love, on his love towards us. And we're going to see his soon return. We're going to encounter the blessings of God in our lives. And I thank the Lord for it. And God is mightily moving by his spirit. He's going to help us solve our problems because it's his will that we do. He's going to help us prosper because it's his will that we prosper. Especially as our soul prospers. And you know, I always teach that it with God is foundational, and he will bless you to prosper on the inside, and then you'll prosper on the outside. And he multiplies his knowledge for us, and then the things we desire are added to us, and that's God's best. But if you've received a great inheritance, double down on the knowledge of God. Receive more of God's word. And if you can look at him, if you can see him by the spirit of the word, you will appreciate the inheritance. If you received an inheritance, somebody took a lot of their life to earn the money that you enjoy. If you have a business and you're selling things and you're making a lot of money, people have served a lot of their life to make that money. So don't be wasteful. Don't be foolish. Do the things of God. And that's how you honor them. The people that have helped you. If you have an inheritance, don't squander it. That's a shame to the people that earned the money. Your parents or your kin people who left you a fortune. Honor them by doing right. Because they took a lot of their time. And they thought enough of you to leave you an inheritance. And you want to make the world a better place if you can, if you become more powerful. And the reason I say double down on the word of God, get a good grip on the word of God, receive more of his knowledge. That's because if you do, your chances of using that money faithfully increases. You will enjoy it better. And you will do faithful things better. You'll do things according to the love of God more. And you'll help solve problems. As you draw near to the Lord will help you. He thinks of everything. If you draw near to the Lord, he will help you do these wonderful things. Because God is love. He loves us. And he is true to us because of his great love and wisdom. Now, the Lord has a lot to say. But I'm out of time. He's not, and he'll continue to move in your life, give you good, pure thoughts, and to be a blessing. Now, till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus is our Lord.